Dit is SBS Dutch. Op sbs.com.au/dutch staan nog meer interessante verhalen.
Stuart, we're here on the Oosterschelde. How special is this for you?
Well, this has been the culmination of about 10 years thinking and planning and work. So what we're trying to do is create a new wave of amazing young people to change the world of tomorrow. These are called Darwin Leaders. We're bringing incredible young conservationists from different parts of the world to the ports that Charles Darwin visited. We partner them with incredible local conservation projects, and they undertake a really intense training program to study an endangered species, and most importantly, to find solutions to help save it for the world of tomorrow.
You've got 30-plus legs, right, around the world. We're here in Sydney now. What kind of projects or programs are they doing here?
Well, we've got 32 voyage legs around the world. This is our 24th one, so we're honoured to be here in Sydney. We've got 8 amazing Darwin leaders coming from many different countries, from Taiwan to Japan to South Korea and many other parts as well. They're doing a whole rainbow of projects here, from koala conservation to the corabi frog to many of the eastern gliders and many other species. They're working with amazing partners here in Australia. It's like an exchange. They bring knowledge from their countries to Aussie, learn about projects here in Australia, get new skills, new knowledge, new experiences, and then take it back to their home countries, hopefully to use over the next 50 years over the course of their careers to change the world of tomorrow.
Why did you choose the Oosterschelde for this project?
Well, this is a beautiful 107-year-old historic tool ship. We're not trying to recreate Darwin's voyage or pretend to be Darwin with this project, but this ship is a symbol. It's an exciting symbol of exploration, adventure and discovery, and a bit of a nod back to Darwin's journey 2 centuries ago. This particular ship is a breathtaking vessel. It's 50 metres long. It's one of the most beautiful historic tool ships afloat, and we're just honoured to work with the foundation that runs this ship and use it for this 2-year voyage.
Now, you're saying we're not pretending to be Darwin and we're not following his exact route, right? But do you grab his notes and compare what he saw that time and what you're seeing now?
Absolutely, 100%. So to be clear, Darwin's journey on HMS Beagle took 5 years. Our one takes 2. So obviously it's a big difference in time. The primary reason for that is the voyage of HMS Beagle, the ship that Darwin sailed on, was primarily a Royal Navy survey expedition. Darwin's presence on it was almost incidental. He came in a civilian capacity. It wasn't Darwin setting out to explore the world on the prow of a ship. It was absolutely not that at all. He came pretty much at the last minute in a civilian capacity as a naturalist. What we're doing by using the symbol of the ship is to try and drive excitement and drive curiosity in all the ports that we go to. We bring on kids, we take out conservationists from the different communities we visit to look at Darwin's legacy. And yes, absolutely, we follow Darwin's footsteps. We've tried to recreate his journeys because Darwin straddles the pre-industrial world and really the modern industrial world. The 1830s was really that key point when humanity started to have a really serious, really big impact across the world. So Darwin coincidentally straddles that very important point in history where the world really starts to change.
Can you imagine how the world would be without him entering that ship at that time?
Yeah, I mean, this is the really interesting part of Darwin's story. He just provide a tiny bit of context. Darwin failed at university, flunked out of Edinburgh studying medicine. His father wrote him a letter how he would bring shame on himself and his family, that he cared for nothing but hunting. He got this incredible opportunity to sail around the world on HMS Beagle, which he himself at the time knew was a once-in-a-century opportunity. His dad originally said no. His dad refused to let him on, but eventually he persuaded his father. He then met the captain, Captain Fitzroy, who initially wasn't going to accept him because of the shape of his nose. Fitzroy believed in physiognomy, this Victorian belief that your characteristics shape your personality.
You don't select the young talents by the nose nowadays, right?
No, we don't today. No, absolutely. But yeah, Darwin, by this set of very unlikely circumstances, managed to get a place on this ship. At the start, he himself writes how inexperienced he was and how open his mind was to observations. But by the end of it, his mind transforms. He literally evolves during the voyage. He literally evolves. And by the end of it, he's the greatest observer in history. And obviously, later develops the theory of evolution, the theory of natural selection, which is the biggest single thought in the history of human thinking. It changed the world. It changed everything, the concept of who we are, our place in the world, our origins, and still absolutely shakes the world to this day.
And if you look into his logs now, if you read it, with the knowledge we have nowadays, like nearly 200 years later, was he ahead of the time? And what do you think if you read that, if you compare it?
Well, I mean, without any question at all, he was a visionary genius in that sense. His powers of observations were just unbelievable. He didn't, for example, because at the time it hadn't been discovered, he didn't have our modern understanding of genetics, but he basically knew how traits were passed down, even though the engine, the mechanics of genetics weren't known. The DNA, for example, wasn't known at that point. But he understood and knew how traits would be inherited. Absolutely, he foresaw much of the scientific knowledge we have today before it was discovered by modern science. But also just the depth of his discovery. People associate him as an old, crusty old white guy with a beard. But, you know, he's in his early 20s when he did this voyage. It's amazing how young they were. The captain, Captain Fitzroy, was 27 when he took the ship around the world. Can you imagine giving a ship to a 27-year-old and say, yep, off you go for 5 years?
No.
Yeah. Same with Darwin, who was 22 when he set out from Plymouth in England on this 5-year voyage. His power of observation, his thought processes. During this voyage, he discovers how atolls are formed. He develops theories of mountain building. He finds fossilized seashells at 3,000 meters in the Andes in South America and realizes that continental drift and mountain forming are a real phenomena. He looks at how earthworms, later in life, he discovers how earthworms revolutionize soil, how it creates humus in the soil. He looked at a rainbow of subjects, from the origins and the origins of humanity and origins of hominids to carnivorous plants to fertilization and movement in plants. He was just an incredible, incredible observer. But an important point is that evolution, in his own words, the mystery of mysteries, the origin of life on Earth, at that time, it was in the air. There were many theories, like by Lamarck, transmutation and so forth. People were suspecting that animals changed over time. This was, by the way, really groundbreaking stuff. This was directly challenging Christianity. This was really risky territory. Darwin himself was described as the most dangerous man in England at the time, just for writing about this, even though he absolutely tried to avoid controversy and absolutely tried to avoid any upset and threats to that subject. This was revolutionary material and absolutely inspiring thinking.
You're very passionate about this, you can tell, and of course you are. What is your background?
So my background, I spent 10 years climbing about 300 mountains in Asia and South America to write 40 books on animals and plants. I was very lucky to discover about 30 new species during those expeditions. And partly through what I saw, even in the last 10, 15 years, I go back to many of the places that I went to 15 years ago, and it's completely destroyed and changed. I'm thinking particularly in parts of Southeast Asia, with hundreds of kilometres of forest gone, which just 15 years ago were standing. In fact, even some of the very species that I myself named and discovered now are critically endangered. One in particular is practically extinct. So this project is all about trying to change the world of tomorrow. Darwin changed the world with his mind. And what we're trying to do with this project is create a wave of amazing drivers of change. Young conservationists born with that passion to change the world. Those are called Darwin leaders. We're trying to build a family of them, a network of them, all the way around the world to drive forward change and have a ripple effect to change the world of tomorrow.
Yeah, you're just over halfway. Have you been a part of some of the legs?
Absolutely, yes. So yeah, we are, absolutely. We're on our return journey back, really, from after Hobart, after Tasmania. We're at the furthest extent away from our start point, which was Plymouth in England, where Darwin stepped aboard. And we get back next July in Falmouth in England, where Darwin also returned ashore. So yeah, we're basically at our furthest point, pretty much, now in Hobart. I have been on several legs. I think the most memorable was up in the Chilean fjords, these beautiful glacier-strewn fjords. We are really lucky. We were incredibly lucky to see a blue whale surface right next to the ship. So we were very lucky there.
must be an amazing experience.
It is, but it all of these things happen when you least expect it. It's the bioluminescence behind the ship at night. It's a sunset after a week of terrible storms, and you see dolphins or whales breaching, you know, in that morning glow. It's completely unpredictable. It's the times when you least expect it, or you're least aware of something like this might happen. But only by being on a ship at sea do you get those experiences. And so we all consider ourselves very fortunate to be part of this and take journeying around the world.
It was a project 10 years in the making, you said. 1 year to go. It must be very sad.
It will be, of course, really sad when we come to an end. But we're building a movement, and we want to do another voyage and keep this going, to train more and more amazing young people to keep changing the world of tomorrow.
Wil je nog meer soortgelijke verhalen? Luister via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify of waar je je podcasts dan ook vandaan haalt.